20 minutes a day, 365 days a year. This is the Pack-A-Day Podcast.
It's Saturday morning. You got your morning coffee. It's Pack-A-Day, your 24-7, 365-day-a-year Packer podcast. A day before the Green Bay Packers take on the Miami Dolphins at Lambeau Field. That kickoff is at 3:25 p.m. I'm Jake Turner. Joining me, of course, 32 years in the business, writer for BobMcGinnFootball.com. He's Mark Eckel. Mark, how's it going?
I'm good. How are you, Jake?
I'm good. You sound a little down right now. Did you just wake up? Uh-oh.
No, I'm down because the Packers are 3-4-1.
Yes, they are. Yep, they're 3-4-1. They got a brutal schedule coming up. We're going to dive into that.
It can't get any worse than it was. They just played the two best teams in football, maybe.
Yes, they did, and it's not going to get any easier. Or maybe it will. We're going to jump into that. We're also going to break down the Dolphins. I mean, how are they going to be able to beat the Packers? At Lambeau Field, the temperature is going to be about 30 degrees. We're going to jump into that as well. What is going on with the Packers? And also, we're going to bring up why Brian Gutekunst, it's a brand new regime, and we're going to bring up the reasons why. All right, let's start it off, Mark. A day before, Miami Dolphins come in. Packers have lost to the Rams, lost to the Patriots in dramatically awful fashion. However, it feels like the season is not over because they're only 3-4-1. So how do the Packers get back on track against the Dolphins?
Well, they should be. I mean, if they lose to the Dolphins, then I'm going to be with the rest of the angry mob that is out there that I hear and read, hear from and read every day that want to just kill everybody. But they're not going to lose to the Dolphins. They'll beat the Dolphins. They'll beat them pretty easily. They're home. I mean, the Packer home games this year. I mean, they are 3-0-1 at home, if I'm not mistaken, right?
That's correct.
And they could be 4-0 if not for a bad call. Mm-hmm. So I mean, they've been okay at home. The road is, and that's what has to change over the last 8 games of the season, is they can't go 0-8 on the road, or they're going to be 8-8 at best, or they'll be 7-8-1. So they have to start winning on the road. You asked me a couple weeks ago, I remember, before this crazy stretch of games started with the Rams and Patriots, and then forget Miami, but then Seattle and the Vikings coming up. You asked me what I thought their record had to be when all this was, going into the final stretch.
Yep.
And I believe I told you if they're 5-5-1, they would be okay, because I truly believe they will win the last 5 games.
Okay.
So they're 3-4. So now, if I'm sticking to what I said, they have to go 2-1. And I don't like to look past things or anything, but they have to go 2-1 in the next 3. So they have to beat the Dolphins and then find a way to split the Seattle Vikings. I don't know if they win them both, that's even better, obviously, but they have to split with Seattle and Minnesota. And that'll get them to 5-5-1. And then, I truly believe they can run the, I don't want to borrow Aaron Rodgers' term, run the table, but I believe they can win those last 5. Arizona stinks. Mm-hmm. Atlanta on the road, which they should beat Atlanta in Lambeau. The Bears in Chicago, but that hasn't been a problem. The Lions at home, and at the Jets. They really should win those last 5. So if they can get to 5-5-1, I think they can get 10-5-1, and that should be more than enough to be in the playoffs.
Yeah, currently I have the schedule right here, and I got them beating the Dolphins, then losing back-to-back at Seattle and at the Vikings
then
prime time. What?
Then they're in trouble. If they lose both of them, they're in trouble.
Yes, but then they'll rattle off 5 games. They'll go 9-6-1, and they'll miss the playoffs. That's how I feel right now.
And then everybody's fired.
Yes, I mean maybe
that 9-6. Don't think 9-6-1 might 9-6-1 could get him in the playoffs.
It could, but I still don't see how that's going to save McCarthy's job. I just don't.
Well, once you get in the playoffs, what if they get crazy? In the year they were the 6th seed not too long ago and went won a Super Bowl.
But I'll say this:
once you're in, anything can happen.
Either one of two things is going to happen with the Packers if they get it to the playoffs. Either A, they're going to make it to the Super Bowl and win it and save McCarthy's job, or he's going to get Tony Dungy'd, get fired after the playoffs are done, and they're going to bring in somebody new, just like they did when John Gruden came in for the Tampa Bay Buccaneers a year later.
I'm glad you brought that up. Let, let's talk about this. This is what's this is the elephant in the room. Is Mike McCarthy back next year?
Yeah.
I think it's going to take, and I'm going to say this right now. Okay. Mike McCarthy's a good football coach. I don't care what anybody says, or I don't care what people criticize. The man's won a lot of games. He's won a Super Bowl.
Yes.
How many current NFL head coaches can say that? Not many.
No.
Not many. John Gruden's won, and he's a complete moron now. As I told you, the Raiders would be before the season, if you remember.
When you were telling me about the Raiders,
I told you they were a disaster waiting to happen. Trust me sometimes, Jake. That's all I'm going to say. Some things I know. That I know. I saw that becoming a complete, just utter fiasco. And they're the worst team in football. John Harbaugh is Mike McCarthy East. Did a great job in Baltimore. I think John Harbaugh's a tremendous. I would love to see, if Mike McCarthy's fired, and I think he may be, I would love to see the Pack and John Harbaugh gets fired in Baltimore. Oh my God, I would campaign for John Harbaugh to be the Green Bay Packers' next head coach. He's a great head coach, but the way the NFL is today, gone are the days of Tom Landry coaching the Dallas Cowboys for 100 years. Gone are the days of Don Shula coaching the Miami Dolphins for 100 years. It just doesn't happen anymore. I saw it firsthand in Philadelphia covering the Eagles for all my years with Andy Reid. Andy Reid's a good football coach.
He is.
But he's taught. Yeah.
Well, I mean, you know this, Mark, because you were covering it when Andy Reid was on his way out of Philadelphia.
Yes.
So tell me right now, what are Packer fans going to expect going forward in the last couple of games that you witnessed in Philadelphia when Reid was fired?
Well, I hope I don't witness the same thing. I mean, that just completely fell apart.
Okay.
And the Eagles went 4-12 Andy's last year, and they had to fire him. But it really happened the year before. I mean, the point I was trying to make is, I don't care how good a coach is. Mm-hmm. After a while, in today's NFL, I don't know why I can't explain why, other than and I'm going to blame the players more than the coach himself. I think it just they tune them out. His message gets old, it gets stale. And you just sometimes, and I don't believe in this, that change is just good for change's sake. But in today's NFL, I think it is. I'm not so sure the Packers are going to hire a better coach than Mike McCarthy. I don't think there are many coaches better than Mike McCarthy, to be perfectly honest with you. But his time in Green, and he'll get hired. If the Packers miss the playoffs and he's fired that Monday, whatever that date is, he'll be hired by the end of that week.
Cleveland.
Now, everybody says that. I don't know if him and Dorsey are good friends or not. Everyone just is connecting those dots.
Right. It's easy. Yeah. I don't think that's a
slam dunk by any means. But there'll be other jobs. I mean, Dallas maybe. Who knows? I mean.
Yeah. You never know. Like, what he could do with
Dak
Prescott.
Cleveland makes sense if him and Dorsey do get along, and if him and Elliott, and you know, all the Packer hierarchy are there. Now he's going to have to deal with Demaryius Randall and Jerome Whitehead again if he goes to Cleveland. But I guess you would want a guy that's worked with quarterbacks to work with Baker Mayfield, so that would be that fits also. But I mean, he'll get it. If it's not Cleveland, there'll be something. I mean, there's going to be every year anywhere from 4 to 6 jobs open, sometimes more.
Yeah.
He'll get another job, just like Andy Reid got another. He wasn't unemployed for 3 days when Kansas City hired him, and he's done a nice guy. Again, Andy Reid's not a great. I will never use the word great to describe Andy Reid until and if he ever wins a Super Bowl. But he's a good coach. He's won a lot of games. He gets to the playoffs almost every year.
Yep.
But it had just run out in Philadelphia. You just saw his message wasn't getting through anymore. And I'm not there. I'm not in the locker room every day with the Packers like I was with the Eagles. But I kind of sense that might be the case here. If it is, then something has to be done. I mean, then you have to let. But what I would love to see as a Packer fan.
Go ahead.
This season does turn around. The Packers make the playoffs. They do well. I mean, obviously, I'd like to see him win a Super Bowl. But then maybe if Cleveland really does want him, Packers can trade McCarthy to the Browns and get like Gruden got traded. You brought up John Gruden earlier, going from Oakland to Tampa. Well, Tampa traded like 2 number 1s.
Yes.
Not that they would get 2 number 1s.
No, they won't.
I'll take a second. Right? Wouldn't you take a second round pick for a guy that you're going to get rid of anyway?
Oh, definitely. I mean, that's why Brian Gutekunst traded HaHa Clinton Dix for a fourth rounder. That's why he traded Ty Montgomery, because he got something out of it. And he's able to, you know, carry on with the two first-round picks built up in the fourth round.
That's the best-case scenario, is the Packers make the playoffs, whatever happens, happens, and then Cleveland or any team. I mean, we're using Cleveland because their job is open.
Well,
that's the only job that we know is open. But if any other job opens and somebody wants Mike McCarthy, well, he's still under contract at Green Bay Packers. So they could swing a deal and get something for him, which would be ideal. Now, then the hard part comes in, who do you hire? Because I've seen a lot of guys that you thought were going to be good head coaches turn out not to be so good. You know, whether they're a good coordinator or a good college coach, it doesn't always work out. And I don't know. I wouldn't want that task of trying to find, because, like I said, in all my years of seeing guys get hired, wow, that's a great hire. That guy's going to do well. No. And then some other guys get hired, and you say, really? They hired him? Mm-hmm. Mike McCarthy. When the Packers hired Mike McCarthy, I wasn't like, wow, great. They got Mike McCarthy. He was an assistant coach that didn't have a great resume at the time. Turned out to be pretty good. He won a Super Bowl.
Well, I mean, that was the same thing with the Packers when they hired Mike Holmgren. I mean, he was an offensive coordinator for the 49ers. They were a great football team, don't get me wrong, but he had no head coaching experience when he was coming in with Ron Wolf. And, you know, that's the best thing about this is that I can't stand it in the offseason when I hear the national media say, oh, they got a heck of a coach in the making there. No, I want to see what can happen
going forward.
I want to have that optimism.
Well, I'll say this. I don't know how I was. I'm a little older. I'm a lot older than you. But
true, you are.
In '91, when the Packers hired Holmgren,
yep,
I was excited. I got to tell you, I was excited.
Okay.
I did like that. I mean, yes, he was. He hadn't been a head coach, but he was a very highly sought after assistant. He really was, and I was thrilled. But if you remember, there was a lot of. I mean, you probably don't, but there were a lot of other rumors of names being tossed around prior to them hiring Mike Holmgren.
Like who, Mark?
Bill Parcells was the main one.
Whoa.
Only because Wolf, and again, it might have just been media rumor.
Yeah.
But, people like to connect dots when they do this. And sometimes the dots do connect, and you get lucky, and you get a story. But sometimes it's just you're just connecting dots that it doesn't mean anything. Wolf and Parcells were good friends, and they still are.
Yeah, but connecting the dots is made for coloring books, and when you're a little kid here, I can't stand on the national media.
No, but a lot of times they do connect. I mean,
sometimes they do, Mark, but I mean,
but that was the name. That was the hot name in 91.
It's just too easy. It's just too easy. It's way too easy to even come out and say, okay, well, because it's now Green Bay East over there, now it's going to be McCarthy. You don't know what's going to happen. You don't know what John Dorsey has up his sleeve for Brian Gutekunst.
I don't think he's going to Cleveland. I think Browns want Luke Riley.
You want to get somebody there that can groom Baker Mayfield. Just because he was able to groom Aaron Rodgers doesn't mean he's going to be able to groom him. I mean, yeah, he groomed Brett Favre in 1999. I get that. But Alex Smith was a complete disaster in San Francisco. And when he left and Harbaugh came in, Alex Smith became what he is today.
You can't just look at McCarthy and go,
that's a quarterback whisperer.
Huh?
Oh, yeah.
Harbaugh benched Alex Smith. Harbaugh has nothing to do with Alex Smith. And Alex Smith didn't get decently went to Andy Reid.
Okay. All right. I got that wrong.
Don't forget that. Harbaugh benched Alex Smith and put Colin Kaepernick, pre-kneeling down Colin Kaepernick, into the lineup. So, yeah, I mean, but again, you just don't know. I mean, McCarthy could end up in Cleveland. I don't know. I don't know how close Dorsey and McCarthy were.
Right.
They might have been. Maybe they are best friends. Maybe Dorsey's praying every night that Green Bay fires McCarthy and he can hire him. But maybe not. Maybe Dorsey wants his own guy. I guess if put a gun to my head right now and ask me who's going to be the head coach of the Cleveland Browns in 2019, until I see Luke Riley sign an extension at Oklahoma.
Yeah.
I think he's the next head coach of the Cleveland Browns. I think he's saying all the right things right now because he has to, because he's still at Oklahoma and they're trying to win the Big 12.
Mm-hmm.
But I really believe he wants an NFL head coaching job. I think he'd love to have a chance to coach Baker Mayfield again. I think that lines up to me better than McCarthy going. Now McCarthy could end up in Baltimore if Harbaugh's let go. He could end up in I mean, whether jobs
There's
are
a
going to
lot of
open
good
next year.
spots that he could end up. And, I mean, that's the thing about McCarthy. He won't be unemployed long if the Packers
No.
decide to make this move. But the fact is also, Packer fans, you got to be patient. They're not going to make any moves until the end of the season. That's what the
Oh, yeah, it makes
Packers
no
have
sense to do that.
always done. Ray Rhodes in 1999, 8-8 record. They fired him right after the Arizona game. That's how the Packers work. They're not going to make a move or anything. If the Packers did lose to the Dolphins, they're still not going to make the move. They're going to live and die by McCarthy till the end of the season. That's just how the Packers always do their job.
And that's the right way to do it. What do you? There's
yeah.
there, nothing unless it's a really volatile situation.
Like
and
you.
It doesn't seem to be.
Yeah, like the Browns
you stand
was.
Nothing to gain by. I don't think you. Football. I mean, it's not baseball where there's 162
mm-hmm.
games, so you have plenty of time to turn. If they lose to the Dolphins, this season, in my opinion, this season's over. We'll be talking about the draft.
Well, this is the Pack-A-Day podcast. I'm Jake Turner alongside my partner in crime, 32 years in the business, writer for BobMcGinnFootball.com, Mark Eckel, and we're breaking down everything Packers right now. We've talked a little bit about the future for the head coach. Is it going to be McCarthy? Is it not? Tweet us at Pack-A-Day Podcast. Give your take on that as well. Mark, I want to talk about Brian Gutekunst here for a minute. This is a new regime. We have finally come to the point where people can no longer say the words that, oh, he's going to be just like Ted Thompson. He trades Ha Clint Dix, Ty Montgomery, cuts Jermaine Whitehead after his buffoonery, after slapping David Andrews in the helmet, and he brings in two running backs. He brings in a safety, Ibrahim Campbell, who hasn't had a good year since 2016, back when Mike Pettine was the coach of the Browns. What's your thoughts on Gutekunst's first year as GM?
I like it. I mean, I like his aggressiveness. I mean, right from the beginning, when he made the trade at the draft and got a second first round pick next year,
mm-hmm.
Moved up and down, and signed a couple free agents. You know, Muhammad Wilkinson could have been a good signing. We'll never know because he got hurt, but that's not Brian's fault, obviously. Is willing to make trades. Made a good offer for Khalil Mack. I mean,
mm-hmm. He did.
You know, you can't. For, I mean, the Bears made a better offer, and the Raiders felt the. You know, it's going to be. You know, it's funny, and I hope I'm wrong about this, but if the Bears finish ahead of the Packers, the Raiders really screwed up because the Raiders could have had the Packers pick, which would have been better pick than the Bears. The reason the Raiders traded with the Bears, they said, was they felt the Bears pick would be better than the Packers pick. And if the Bears won it with a better record, then the Raiders got the wrong end of that deal, didn't they?
Well, we'll find out. I mean, that's the thing.
But if Mack was on the Packers, maybe the Packers would have been. But, you know, anyway, my point is, getting back to your question about Brian, I think he's done a great job. I mean, it's early. We got a long way to go. But I think Packer fans can now have to pay attention now during the offseason because they're going to be doing things. Listen, Ted Thompson – his last couple drafts weren't very good.
They weren't.
There's no other way to cut it. But his early drafts were very good.
Yes, they were. Yes, and I want everybody
to
remember that.
He did sign Charles Woodson.
Uh-huh.
He did sign Ryan Pickett. He did some good things. He won a Super Bowl. Again, not a lot of people can say that.
No. And you're correct because he was a two-time executive of the year. And when I was writing an article for PackersTalk.com, I was tearing into Ted Thompson a little bit. I want everybody to remind themselves, the last 4 years of Thompson's regime were awful. He was making bad moves, bad draft picks, bad signings. They weren't working. They just weren't, and that's why they had to bring in Gutekunst. I mean, that was the fact, plain and simple. I mean, that's the one thing is that Packer fans – got to be patient here. It's not the year that you think that it was going to be, but this is what Packer fans deal with, the highs and the lows, and this is how it has to go. Because here's the thing, Mark, $43 million in salary cap. That's a lot of credit to Gutekunst and Russ Ball. I mean, thank goodness they kept Russ Ball because he knows finances. He knows how to build that salary cap, and so does Gutekunst. Because think about it. They cut money from Ha Clint Dix, from Ty Montgomery, Jermaine Whitehead, and they take the, even though they're little pieces
of
money,
anyway, but go ahead.
They're still in the salary cap. They're still helping
year,
it. It saved $3.5 million.
They picked up $3.5 million
there. Yeah, which is good.
Oh, yeah.
And we still,
no,
and they were still able to keep Rodgers.
And they may get more if they let go of some other guys next year. I mean, and again, they're going to spend it. That's the,
they will.
I thought the great quote from him, which was I was saying to myself, but mm-hmm. he actually said it out loud when he was being asked about, you know, you traded Dix, you got a fourth round pick. If you lost him in free agency, you would have got a compensatory pick in the following draft. And he went, well, wait a minute. First of all, nobody can figure out how the compensatory picks work anyway. Second, if you sign free agents, that you don't get compensatory picks because it works the other, you know, it offsets the guys that you lose. And we plan on signing free agents. So Packer writers have to get in their head now. They're not covering Ted Thompson anymore, who ignored free agency for the most part.
Yep.
And guys left and you got compensatory. The days of the Packers getting 3 and 4 compensatory picks are over.
Mm-hmm.
Because they're going to sign. When they lose a free agent, they're going to sign one. I fully expect the Packers to sign at least 2, if not 3, you know, starters and free agents next year. They could sign an offensive lineman. They could sign a safety. They could sign a linebacker.
Edge rusher.
Yeah, well, that's what I meant by linebacker. Yeah.
Oh, okay. Nick Perry would come to mind.
They're going to sign a couple with $43 million to spend. They're going to spend it on a couple. And really, nobody on their own roster that they need to re-sign.
Mm-hmm.
They're going to go out and this all. And again, we're looking way too far ahead now. But
no.
But you brought up Ryan, so
yes.
He's going to be active. I mean, like I said, Packer fans are going to have a busy offseason this coming offseason, as opposed to the past when the season ended and you could basically take a nap until the draft because they weren't going to do anything.
What's your thoughts on Mike Pettine and what he's done with this defense?
I know. I told you weeks and months ago. I know Mike a little bit, being from Bucks County, where I lived for most of my life,
mm-hmm.
and saw his Jets defense a little bit, but living back north, and it's what I thought it would be. It's what it's a pressure-oriented defense, but the pressure—it's not your classic Pittsburgh 3-4, which is what Dom Capers ran, mm-hmm. learning from his, you know, his years in Pittsburgh, where the front three are basically traffic cops, you know, tie up the line, and your outside linebackers do all the damage. That's your old-style classic Steeler 3-4. His 3-4 is more of the, it comes from Rex Ryan, who learned it from New England and Baltimore and all that. Where the pressure can come from anywhere. It's not always on, and that's what people keep saying, oh, the Packers outside pass rush. It's not always their job. If you know, Blake Martinez comes on a blitz a lot. The safeties come on a blitz. The down linemen are responsible to get pressure. The pressure can come from anywhere and everywhere, and that's a good thing because if, you know, the offense doesn't know where it's coming from either. So it's a little more diverse, I guess, for lack of a better word, and I think, you know, it's not a defense that you're going to learn in a couple games. I mean, I think the defense has played pretty well. I mean, I know it's hard to say that when you give up 60 points in 2 weeks,
mm-hmm.
but they played very well against the Rams
and against the Patriots.
I know they're 29 points, but they did some things, you know, and then even New England, you know, New England's good. You face Tom Brady. It's Tom Brady. I mean, and it's Bill Belichick. A couple trick plays hurt him, but that in that game in that third quarter last week,
mm-hmm.
it's, you know, they're down at halftime. They get the ball, nice drive, go down, tie the game. They stop New England at the goal line,
yep.
which was incredible. What they have, like 6 plays from the 2 or something?
They did. And he even had the luxury of a flag stopped. As well.
Yeah, could have given that penalty too, right? I mean,
yep.
So that was incredible. Then New England gets the ball back. They stop them. They call, but again, I never like to complain about referees because I think it all evens out.
Mm-hmm.
But really, it was a bad call. I mean, it should have been running into the punter, not roughing the punter, because he really didn't rough him. He kind of just ran into it. Should have been a 5-yard penalty. Instead, they gave him a 15 and the automatic first down. And I'd love to see the exact numbers, but I would think it's got to be 8 out of 10. When you get the ball back after a roughing the punter penalty like that, you score, right? I mean, you get 15 yards. Or drive, you get a, no, they stopped him again. So that defense put up, in my opinion, three major stops there, gave the offense the ball back. The offense goes on another good drive. And then, unfortunately, Aaron Jones, who had played very well to that point, fumbles. And to me, that was the game. All right, that just took the life out of it.
Yeah, that killed it.
It's a young – keep in mind. And people say, well, the defense still could have stopped them, and they could have got the ball. Yeah, sure, all that could have happened. And, you know, but let's be honest. It's human nature. Mm-hmm. This is still a young Packer team.
Yeah.
For all, you know, yes, you know, the quarterback's a veteran, a couple other veterans, but it's a young team. And that fumble, it just took their hearts out. It took the breath away. It took the momentum away. And it cut their heart out. Mm-hmm. And New England went, and it gave New England, which had lost all momentum, it gave it right back to them. And then they used, you know, to play, and they go down and they score, and that was it. I mean, that was, but if let me ask you this. If Aaron sure. Jones doesn't fumble,
mm-hmm.
and the Packers score a touchdown, not a field goal, but a touchdown on that drive, and they take a 24-17 lead, who wins that game?
Packers.
I think so, too. I think it just would have kept snowballing. I think they would have taken the lead. The defense would have been pumped. They would have stopped them again. Packers would have gotten the ball back. Maybe, who knows if they score again or not, but they probably would have used some clock. Yeah, I believe that. I know they gave up two touchdowns after, but it just turned the whole game around. And in no way am I blaming this on Aaron Jones. It made a kid fumble, but it was a good play by the defense, too. But you know, games, you know, ebbs and flows of a game are big, and that was a big, big, big turning point. But the defense, to get back, I went 10 different directions. You asked me about Mike Pettine's defense. The only knock I have on his defense right now is not getting enough turnovers. No, mm-hmm. zero turnovers the last 2 weeks, and you got to get some. And I know they played Brady, and they played a Rams team that doesn't turn over much either. But this week, for them to beat the Dolphins this week, they got to get some picks. They got to get some fumbles, some interceptions. They got to get some turnovers, give the offense the ball, and, you know, good field position, and win the game going away.
They have to build that confidence up because, like you said, they have back-to-back prime time games, Thursday night against Seattle and then Sunday night football at Minnesota, and you're going to hear that skull chant and everything. But then it becomes cake, Arizona, Atlanta, at Chicago, at the Jets, and then versus the Lions. I mean, that's right there. I would look at that and go, that's five wins there. But
well, you never say that, but you're right.
You're right. Because
well,
Chicago could
Bears
be a pain,
be
too.
But yep. They'll definitely be favored in four of those five games.
They should be. This is the Pack-A-Day Podcast. I'm Jake Turner alongside Mark Eckel, 32 years in the business. Writer for BobbingInFootball.com. Packers-Dolphins kickoff, 3:25 p.m. Central Time. And you can find that on Sunday afternoon at Lambeau Field. It's going to be cold. It's going to be great. I can't wait. This
cold's going to help the Packers, too, Sunday.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, Dolphins
Miami,
can't play in the cold.
Just like
they never have.
Team when they go down, like, you know, if a cold-weather team goes into Miami or goes into, you know, Tampa and it's 85 degrees, well, I think it works even more so the other way when a Miami team comes up to Wisconsin and you say, is it going to be 30 degrees Sunday tomorrow?
Yeah, that's what it's looking like, but it could change.
Yeah.
But, yeah, from what
I heard, it's
25 degrees in Wisconsin right now.
Yeah, those Florida guys aren't going to like being in that kind of weather.
Agreed.
I don't like being in that kind of weather anymore.
Agreed, yeah. I was looking at the stats.
You don't either,
right?
You're in Florida now, too. You don't,
I am.
You don't
yes,
want to be in 30.
I wish I was back in Green Bay for this game, but, you know. I'm doing great
You'll
things down here.
From
so.
The cozy confines of your couch. Right? Nice and warm.
The sunshine and everything, yeah. But I'm still a Midwest kid. I'm always going to be that way. Looking at the Dolphins, the stats are not impressive. 21st to pass defense. Rush defense, 28th. What player on the offense do you see having a breakout game?
Aaron Rodgers.
Woo! He's been ripped on by Aaron Nagler this week.
Well, I mean, listen, I'm as big Aaron Rodgers fan as any other Packers
yep.
fan. I mean, you know, he's been great, no mm-hmm. doubt. But this year, he's not been bad. I'm not going to say he's bad. I've seen bad. He's not bad, but he hasn't been Aaron Rodgers. He just hasn't. His numbers, his play, he's been good, but good isn't good enough to be Aaron Rodgers. You got to be great. Yeah. Like, you know what I'm saying? He's not. He's just been good. And I think Sunday, He needs to be great, and I think he will be great. I think we'll see the old Aaron Rodgers. I think his completion percentage will be 70-something percent like we're used to, not 60. I think he'll throw, you know, 2-3 touchdowns. I think he'll do better on third downs than he has. Hopefully he won't take a sack, you know, in a bad situation or fumble. One thing he hasn't thrown many picks this year, and that's good, and he probably won't. Hopefully he won't Sunday either. Mm-hmm. But no, I expect a big game from Aaron Rodgers. Like you said, Miami's secondary is very vulnerable. They do have a decent pass rush. It hasn't been as good as it could be this year. Cameron Wake isn't having a great year, but he's still a pretty good player. Mm-hmm. But I think, you know, the Packers got they dodged the bullet. Looks like Brian Bulaga will be able to play at right tackle, at least start. But the line's got to play better, and I think it will. Give Aaron a little bit of time, but get those quick, rhythmic passes going. You know, get Devontae Adams singled up. The new star of the team, MVS, right? Mm-hmm. Another 100-yard game out of him, maybe? Who knows? Another bomb. I mean, he had, what, 3 for 101 last week, and if Rodgers leads him better on another one, he would add 4 for 160.
Who wins Sunday?
Oh, the Packers. Easy.
You got a score?
Let's go with 27-10.
That's a good one. That's a good one. I feel like this is a game that the Packers, this is gift wrapped. It's right here. I understand the any given Sunday perspective, but games like this is what's going to help you put your season back on track. You want to have that win. If you lose to the Dolphins and you have to go at Seattle and at Minnesota, this thing is going to crater. You have to win on Sunday in order to get a chance against for the next two games, because you got to take it one game at a time, but you have to understand Seattle, haunted house of horrors for Aaron Rodgers, but the Vikings as well. And they won't be easy. They got a better quarterback now with Kirk Cousins. So bring your A game. I'm going to take the Packers one last time, and I'm going to say they'll win this one 31-13.
Hey, you're a little bit higher than me, so, but we're at the same.
Because this offense,
same neighborhood.
This offense is prone to score. They're sixth in the pass offense this year. They average 24.3 points per game. There's no excuse that they can't get at least 31 on the Dolphins at home in the cold. Packers will win this one. So
okay.
That's how
let's
I look
hope,
at it.
So we're talking about it next week. That about a win.
We will, Mark. We
all
will.
Right. Take well, care, man.
Yep. All right. That was Mark Eckel, 32 years in the business. You can find his recaps for games on BobMcGinnFootball.com. You could tweet us at @PackadayPodcast. You could tweet me at Jake Turner Sport, or you can find Mark Eckel on there as well. Well, it was another great show. We went on for about 30 minutes, but you know what? It was worth it, because that's what we do for our Packer family here on Packaday. We give you what you want. We give you a lot of different topics. I mean, you can go to other places and you can just listen to a Packers-Dolphins preview, or you can really get into the nitty-gritty, and that's what we do here on Packaday. That's why we are one of the best podcasts. Don't believe us? Go find it. It's right there on Packaday Podcast on our Twitter page. For Mark Eckel, I'm Jake Turner. The three best words in the Packers dictionary, or if you want to call it encyclopedia, go Pack Go. Good luck, Packers. They got the Dolphins, 3:25 p.m. Central Time. Enjoy the game. It's at Lambeau. This has been your Packaday Podcast here on iTunes, Stitcher, Google Play, Spotify. We're everywhere. Just find it. I'm Jake Turner. Have yourself a great weekend, everybody.
Third and six, trailing 30-23, 2 minutes straight up to go in the game. San Francisco showing a blitz through the A gap, and here they come. Rodgers looking, throws left side of the end zone.
Yes! Devontae Adams, left corner of the end zone from Aaron Rodgers. 16-yard touchdown pass, the Packers an extra point away from getting this game tied.
Beathard on third down and three in the shotgun. Football to the 46 at Green Bay. Packers showing a blitz, and here they come. Beathard looking, hit as he throws it. Deep down the right sideline. And
intercepted on the play. Spectacular interception by Kevin King at the 9-yard line of Green Bay.
Snap to Rodgers, looking right. Throws the right side. St. Brown makes the tackle.
Nice reach.
Oh, he reached back to gather it in, using all 6'5 of his frame, tumbled out of bounds. inside the 30 of the 28-yard line. Snap to Rodgers, looking downfield, throws the left side. Devontae's got it, out of bounds, inside the 10-yard line. Oh, my goodness, what a throw and catch. Again, they beat Maven down the left sideline. Hunter Bradley, the snap. J.K. Scott down on one knee, arm extended. Here it is, placement made, kick is up. And it's good!
Mason Crosby
delivers the dagger. One week after his worst day ever, he delivers the dagger tonight. And the Packers win 33-30.